want to see that such distances were never meant to be. Call it God, call it Spirit, call it Jesus, call it Lord, call it Buddha, Baha'u'llah, Hashem, or heaven's door. It's Muhammad, it's your mind, it's your soul, it's your sign. It's the universe, it's music, Mother Earth or Father Time. But whatever name you give it, it's all one power, can't you see? Whatever name you give it, it's the very air we breathe. One power of love between you and me. One power. One power. One power. One power. One power. It's the moment of creation. It's an everlasting peace. It's the freedom of forgiveness. It's the sweetness of release. It's the joy of inspiration. It's the sunshine on your face. It's the birthright of all nations. It's the boundlessness of space. It's the beauty of a baby, the serenity of sleep. It's the anger we obey. Forever in you and me. It's the power of the love lives forever in you and me.
Wow, Mary Kay. I've heard that song sang many times. We've even had Daniel Namod here, the author, to sing it. But girl, you were anointed. As we say in the Pentecostal church, you were anointed. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. Would you please show Mary Kay and our amazing band? Thank you so much. I love the lyrics to that song. Call it God, call it Spirit, call it Jesus, call it Lord, call it Buddha, Baha'u'llah, angel's wings, or heaven door. But whatever name you give it, it's all one power, can't you see? It's the power of the love in you and in me. Boy, he captured that masterfully. Today we are talking about the many names for God, the many paths for God, and yet the one God. There's one God known by many names. There's one God exemplified and demonstrated in many teachers, many teachings, many icons. Today, I just pulled a few things that I had or that were around here. And that's just a small representation. I had the privilege a number of years ago to the Parliament of the World's Religions. And I was literally blown away at the opening processional when people came in from every tribe and every nation. So many religions and spiritual traditions represented there that I'd never even heard of. And on the closing night, I've been 2 years. Once was in Utah. The closing night in Salt Lake City, Utah, the Mormons opened up one of their buildings, and they allowed everyone that could fit into that building, every tribe, every nation, every dress, sang with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and they all stood holding hands singing, "Let There Be Peace on Earth." And I tell you, it was one of the highlights of my life. I thought, you know what? So often we get marred down in the bickering and the differences. But let me tell you, there's an uprising around the world where people really do know and believe there is one God. And yet, how can any of us be so arrogant as to think we have the market on the one great big God? And so to have grace and understanding towards one another. And we want to look at that today because it's one of the advancements that we have here at Unity. We have 5 spiritual advancements, and these are ways that we live out our spiritual principles. And the first one is that organic divinity. We do our best to live and treat each other as organically divine. The second is peace and nonviolence, and how we've talked about that the root of every ism, I believe, the root of every ism and everything that ails this world is anchored in us failing to see each other as divine. And if we can see that, then we can begin to live with peace and nonviolence. It doesn't mean we have to agree, but it does mean that we can't kill each other, that we're going to harm none. And so we look at organic divinity. We believe in peace and nonviolence. And then the third, as we talked about last week, is that nature is the original cathedral, and that this earth, we begin to see all of life as sacred, which leads us to today. And today we talk about interfaith and interreligious harmony. I didn't really understand interreligious harmony until I went to the Parliament of World Religions. And perhaps some of you, like me, I have no issue at all. I'm really comfortable. I noticed this in my first ministry when I was in Lawrence, Kansas. The Unity Church in Lawrence, Kansas, I could bring in a Sufi twirling dervish. People loved it. I could bring in a Peruvian shaman. People loved it. We could bring in a Buddhist monk. We could bring in an Iman Muslim. We could bring in Baha'i. But when I brought in the Baptist choir, we got nervous. It's just the truth. And when there was a great quartet, these incredible men that sang with the Salvation Army, but they always wanted to sing about the blood of Jesus and Jesus on the cross. And when I brought them in, sometimes people walked out or got really nervous. And so I began to understand that sometimes it's easier to be more comfortable with interfaith. But do you realize how broad the spectrum of Christianity is? From fundamentalism to mysticism, that the KKK prides themselves in being Christian, that there's the Baptist and the Methodist, there are the Jehovah's Witnesses, there are the Quakers and the Mormons, there are the Catholics, and then you get on into some of the mystical New Thought, all on a spectrum of Christianity, but could they really be more different in some ways? So that's what we mean by inner religious harmony, that are we able to keep our stuff together when we're in the presence of some very differing beliefs? And can you find ways, if you go into another place of worship? My brother-in-law is a Pentecostal minister. My sister is a preacher's wife of a Pentecostal minister. That's where my parents go. And they all think I'm going straight to hell. But when I go to that church, I do my very, very best to speak different languages. And I tell you, I enjoy the music. You can gather pearls of wisdom from any tradition. And so what does it mean to really have interfaith and interreligious harmony? I think the 13th century Persian poet Rumi said it beautifully when Rumi said, "How many paths are there to God? There are as many paths to God as there are souls on earth." And I think a lot of people would agree that there are as many paths to God as there are individual souls on earth. A lot of people would also agree that there are different religious paths, that many paths can lead to God. And then there are some that would completely disagree. There are some that would advocate and say, no, there's only one way. The question becomes, what do you believe? What do I believe? And why do you believe what you believe? How did you arrive at that? And how do you relate to people who believe very differently How do you feel about that? And can we keep ourselves in peace and nonviolence? Can we keep ourselves working to understand? Can we keep ourselves being that presence of compassion? Now, when I grew up being taught and believing that there was only one way, and that was that Jesus was the way, and that there was only one way to heaven, and that was Christianity. And I grew up being taught that my particular brand of Christianity was the right one. It never dawned on me to question, well, how convenient was that, until I got some years older. And I want to be very clear, because I'm walking a delicate line here. Sometimes you have to talk about things to understand them. But it's really important to me not to disrespect, because I was as sincere as you can be where I was in those beliefs. And I truly, with all my heart, believed I was on the right path. And I truly mourned for other people that I was going to hell. So I want to just say that a lot of people, I truly believe, are doing what they believe is right. And that's why it's so important for us who are in the same boat, are doing what we believe is right, to really be able to find ways to relax around differences and to find ways to seek to understand and use that to turn the light back within, to still say, well, where do I have any spiritual arrogance or ignorance? Where have I said, okay, I figured it out, and now that's it, end of discussion. And you know, so why did I believe that? Well, because I grew up with it. It's like the little boy in Sunday school when the teacher said, how many believe in God? Every hand went up. And the Sunday school teacher said, someone tell me why you believe in God. And everybody got still. And finally, one little fella stood up and he said, well, I believe in God because I believe it runs in my family. And that tends to happen, you know, whatever we grew up in, whether that was anything or no thing, whatever those beliefs were, either you believed them or it gave you a platform from which to rebel one way or another. And so what typically happens along our spiritual or religious path, what typically happens is most people eventually begin to question their faith. The questioning of faith will sometimes lead to a crisis of faith. And that crisis of faith will sometimes lead to a breakdown and a breakthrough of faith. And when I was in ministerial school, when I was in seminary, they told us during orientation at the very beginning, they said, if you don't lose your God during this program, then we have not done our job. If you don't lose your faith in your God right now, we've not done our job. And I begin to think, you want us to be ministers and have lost our faith? But I begin to understand that what they were saying is, if you hold your feet to the fire and you're spending years really looking at your belief, then you're going to find some incongruencies. You're going to find some things that you used to believe, and yet maybe now I'm not so sure. The question becomes, how are we in relationship with those things? And so what tends to happen, irregardless, whatever path we have, is when we begin to question, we usually do one of three things. We will make a decision, whether it's conscious or not, we just accept it. This is what I believe, this is what my family believes, this is what I know and what I've been taught, and so I'm going to shut out. It's like end of discussion. This is what I believe, and I need to stay here. The second thing that we sometimes do is when we begin to see some incongruencies, we begin to see some things that don't quite add up, we may reach a point of just saying, forget it, forget all of it. We may reject it. The downside of that is quite often we throw out, this is, as the saying goes, the baby with the bathwater. We may just reject all of it. Or the third, which to me is by far the healthiest approach, is to filter it. Rather than accept or reject, to begin to filter it. You filter it with personal experience and exploration. And that's what happened in my life, is when I began to filter my personal experience, when who I really was, who I really knew myself to be, according to the religious teachings that I believed, I was condemned to hell. I was to be outside of God's love, and yet I knew in my heart that I loved God with all my heart. And so for many people, there comes a time of reconciliation. And so if you can filter it through your experience and filter it through exploration, It was during that time that I picked up those two books that are down at the bottom, a couple of books that really opened me. I was taking a college class on the Old Testament. And I remember one day when the professor was teaching and he was talking about Noah's Ark. And I'm like, oh yeah, I know that story. I know Noah's Ark. And the professor said, yeah, well, 1,000 years before that was ever recorded in the Hebrew scriptures, there's something called the Epic of Gilgamesh. That same story shows up 1,000 years earlier written in stone. And so he had the audacity to call the story of Noah's Ark a myth. And I just got uncomfortable thinking, how could you call it a myth? That's the word of God. That's true. But do you see how that discomfort caused me to begin to study and to look and to examine my own beliefs? And to this day, that's what I continue to hope to do, is to stake your claims, believe what you believe, and always be willing to let go of your belief when love is trying to open you to another level. And if it is love, and if it is God that you're allowing to evolve you, then what begins to happen, it is a filtering, it becomes a beautiful tapestry. And so, you know, sometimes people will say things like, I'm a recovering Catholic, or I'm a recovering this. And I don't like to say things like that, because I believe whatever our background was, if we can use it and find the good and find the pieces that really work for us, find the things that caused us to dig deep, the things that caused us to go to the edge of our own resourcefulness, if we use those things, it's like this. If our goal is to get out of the top of this building, then we're going to start stacking these chairs on top of each other to get up. But if you take a chair, and like a chair is something you've experienced, if I take this, and then I take this, and it's like, well, I don't want to use this anymore. If you keep throwing away everything that has been, you will never learn how to evolve. But if you stack this on this, on this, on this, and see how this connects and that connects, if we take the scope out and begin to listen to other people and see the correlations, the beauty is we find the God, we find the love that is blended through all of this. I can tell by the looks on your faces, even wearing masks, that many of you have had some of those crises of faith, and you've had some of those, I've just got to start over. One of my favorite things in Unity is our new to Unity classes, because they're usually smaller, a dozen people or so, and we get to introduce ourselves and tell where we were born. And I always say, briefly, tell us a little bit about your spiritual experience. I have a world. If you really delve into the many religious traditions, what you'll find are some powerful similarities. The metaphors are different, but the essence is the same. They're all pointing us to what we would call the Godhead, the source. Every great spiritual tradition has woven within it what we call the golden rule. At the heart of every tradition is to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. At the heart of every religion is also teachings and stories that tell us and ask us to take responsibility for our actions. At the heart of everyone, you will find that there's a call to live for a higher purpose, to die before you die, to give yourself to a life of serving a higher purpose. And the other point would be to master yourself, to master your inner life. And the icons, the scriptures, the teachers may differ, but at its essence, you'll find these things. Now, when we say that there's one God, many paths, we're not implying that all paths are the same, because they're not. We're also not implying that every path is free of error, because none are perfect in and of themselves. And I also think it's really, really important for spiritual communities, for churches. I really think it's important for us to speak to the fact that religion has been used, religion is often used as justification for conflict, violence, and control. Amen? It's just the truth that if you look at what's going on in our news today, the hot issues have at the core of them a religious difference of belief. It's just the truth. That's how it has been. And so, unfortunately, religion is often used to leverage control. It's used to create fear. And it can be used as violence. And as we know through history, where people have been oppressed and continue to be oppressed, all in the name of God. And so I believe I have a responsibility as a minister, and I believe we have a responsibility to say that happens. And please, let's not let it happen here. Let's do the exact opposite of that. Let's create space to say, we know this often happens. And so I want to make sure that there is room at the table for everybody here. We want to make sure that differing opinions are understood like spectrum in a beautiful rainbow. They're not meant to threaten or intimidate. They're meant to show us a different perspective. And if we can hold all of that in love, if we can hold that in reverence and respect, then we can be the bridge. We can be that presence that says, yeah, I know, I understand. I can see this and I can see that. But I don't think it's an either or. You know, what tends to happen is people go to extremes, and that's when it becomes very dangerous. And we're asked to have some good old-fashioned common sense in the midst of this and to say, what are our similarities here? What are we really seeking? What do we really want here? And that's where, in our heart, we're so much the same. That's what Daniel Namod's words go on to say, that differences are only dangerous when we forget that in our heart we're all the same. So when we look at this, we just remember this. Unity was not started as its own denomination. Today, Unity is both denominational and non-denominational. Every church, legally, Unity is a denomination. If you go to the hospital and you're sick and they ask you, do you want a chaplain? What's your denomination? You can say Unity, because it really is one, even if it's not on the form. It really is one. But when Unity was started back in the 1800s, it was meant to be a way of life. It was meant to be a complement on anyone's spiritual or religious journey, because it was meant to help people live the teachings they believed. And what happened as the years went on is people, when they began to study more Unity, and then a lot of people went back to their spiritual traditions, they really couldn't reconcile the two anymore. And Unity as the denomination was born out of that. And yet we have a prayer and publications. We have other aspects of Unity as a worldwide movement that is beyond, it's what we call trans-denominational. It's beyond any denomination. So Unity has its roots to hold space for differences. Now, something really interesting happened. Charles Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity back in the 1920s, he was just a real advocate of looking at Christianity through a mystical context and looking at all other spiritual traditions to find the unity, to find the common, and to use that to ask us questions to really live out the teachings of Jesus, which is what he was following. And so in the early 1920s, this is when radio was taking place in the United States, and Charles Fillmore was leading edge. So here in the middle of Kansas City, he figured out how to get on the radio, and he got one of the tallest antennas he could possibly create. This was before the FCC had regulations about it. So Charles Fillmore thought, well, if I'm going to blast the good news, if we're going to have dialogue, let's just get the signal out there. Well, so 1920s, he's blasting the signal. Do you don't want to know where it was picked up? Nigeria, Africa. He bounced that signal all the way to Africa. And to this day, Unity has a very large presence in Nigeria. Unity has a huge presence in Africa because of one man who heard the broadcast. He heard how the Fillmores had been healed. He heard about studying different scriptures. This man in Africa experienced his own healing. He was known to be an individual that prayed with people, and they were healed. And so today, there is a school for religious studies in Nigeria. Today, there is a Silent Unity in Nigeria. Today, Unity builds schools for children in Nigeria. And it all started because he broadcast that. The reason I love that story is because when I think about God, God or love's broadcast knows no limits. There are no limits. And so why not many faiths, many traditions? Because love, God, is seeking to reach each and every one of us. In the scriptures, there's a story that's known as the Tower of Babel. Many of you probably know that story. In that particular story, the descendants of Noah were living in an area of Mesopotamia and in Babylon, and they wanted to ensure their dominion. They wanted to have a prestigious landmark. They wanted to demonstrate that they had an elevated connection to God. They wanted to show everybody, we are connected to God above all others. So they start building this tower, as the myth, as the story goes. They're building this tower toward heaven. And the interesting thing is, what does the Bible say? What do the scriptures, is Genesis chapter 11, what does it say? Well, God saw that the people were working together for a common goal, but unfortunately the goal they were working for was steeped in ignorance and arrogance. And so what God did, according to the story, is diversified the languages. Just like that, nobody could speak the same language. And as the story goes, they then scattered out, which is what they had been commanded to do. And essentially, the story is telling us that it is through our multiplicity, it is through our diversity that we come to find true unity, because unity is not uniformity. And being similar in spirit does not translate to sameness of every kind. That story says that we each need our own voice. Every person has to speak for themselves. Unity is a beautiful place where individuals share their stories of finding unity. It reminds me, I recently read a woman, Mary Rose O'Reilly. She has a spiritual autobiography titled The Barn at the End of the World. She started out in Roman Catholicism. She was a novitiate on the path to become a nun. And 2 years into that, she was really begin to be disillusioned, and she left the church altogether. As a part of her rebellion, she went to the Quakers. Now, parents, wouldn't you like it if your child rebelled and went to the Quakers instead? But that was her form of rebelling, is she went to the Quakers. And after a few years from there, she went on to school. She became an English professor. She learned to meditate, studied Buddhism, and a few years ago, she left it all to go work with sheep. And she wrote in her autobiography, The Barn at the End of the World, she said, it's helpful to come again to your own religion after you have filtered it through some radically different set of beliefs. Because beliefs, in fact, are what come into question. The one spirit remains constant, but the images and the metaphors may change. I've had people tell me a white buffalo showed up in my dreams. Different things showed up to me. What does that mean? Should I be afraid of it? And I said, what is the message? If the message is bringing you love, if the message is growing you, then you can trust that message is from God. That spirit, God, those images can show up in many forms. We have an individual who's here today, someone newer to our spiritual community, and have shared their beautiful story with me. And I had permission to share. This individual grew up in a home that had its challenges like a lot of homes. But at 8 years old, a family member was a missionary. And so the person in our church really had an affinity with this. It was an aunt who was a missionary. And at 8 years old, this individual gave their life to Christ and was a true, innocent spiritual seeker and finder. Had many mystical things happen and many challenging things. And as they had opportunities in the church and began to grow in the church, they saw and witnessed things that were not so admirable, things that caused them to question, and eventually things that were just way beyond being able to deal with it. And so they left the Christian church and just had to let all of that go. They told me that when they left that, they began to study Matthew Fox, Creation Spirituality, discovering the concept of original blessing. Opened them up to begin to look at interfaith. Then they began to study in a Hindu ashram. And the story that really got me that this individual told me, they said they were in a Hindu ashram and they had an opportunity to have some body work one day at a thing that was going on. And they said while they were on this table, eyes closed, having some body work, all of a sudden in their imagination, they said, appeared this Chinese woman in a red flowing robe that they saw just as clear as could be. And when they finished, and the practitioner who was given the body work said, "Did you experience anything?" And this individual said, "Yeah, I saw this Chinese woman in a red flowing robe and described it." And the woman said, "You're describing Kuan Yin." Now, this individual had never really heard of Kuan Yin. Why did that show up? And so the individual began to study Kuan Yin and the divine aspect of God. The individual learned that Kuan Yin often reveals Kuan Yin self to women or children who have been oppressed. And while the individual was reading a book and studying Kuan Yin, they had this overwhelming urge to go to Indonesia, to just go to Indonesia. And they happened to mention it to someone, and the person said, "Absolutely, you need to go to Indonesia." So they said they looked into it, and at that particular time, the trip they wanted to take to Indonesia was $4,000. And this individual said, I couldn't come up with $400, much less $4,000. But I had this overwhelming urge, Kuan Yin, go to Indonesia, $4,000. And so they said, "Kuan Yin, if you're teaching me," because they were being open, love was healing them. They said, "If you're teaching me, then I need this money. You're going to have to help." They said they lived near this dumpster by a Catholic church, and one day a Catholic church threw out a whole bunch of their old robes and choir stuff. And they happened to see someone get one out, and this individual went and looked, and lo and behold, they found 33 beautiful Catholic priest robes that had just been thrown into a dumpster. So they salvaged those robes, and they said, "Okay, Kuan Yin, I got 33 priest robes. What does this have to do with going to Indonesia?" And they said they had very clear guidance that said, "Call Warner Brothers Costume Department." Now, I've seen pictures of these robes. I kid you not, they called Warner Brothers Costume Department, and they said, "We'll take them." Do you want to know how much they offered for them? $4,000. $4,000. The individual went on, and I can tell you just from being in their presence that, you see, any way where we run into an end, and if that way in any way is no longer serving us, love is always broadcasting. And if we insist on tying God to just one of those ways, if we refuse to say, "Kuan Yin, however you are seeking to help me reconnect with the divine, with love, with God," this individual said, "I'm on an interfaith journey and I feel guided to become part of this spiritual community here at Unity. Coming out of the closet as a devotee of Kuan Yin and Christ consciousness is both vulnerable and rewarding. But if there's any safe place to do it, it's right here." I want to close with a video. A video says it with 1,000 words. This is an incident that took place in Memphis, Tennessee. Hopefully all this technology is going to work here. But it's Heartsong Church, Pastor Steve Stone, and the Memphis Islamic Center. So would you show us this short video clip? These things work perfectly in rehearsal.
And we see a banner, and that banner says,
"Heartsong Church welcomes the Memphis Islamic Center to the neighborhood." Me and my wife both were thinking about leaving church because I just did not accept what was going on.
Lord, we are so humble.
I went to Pastor Steve and asked him, I said, what are we doing? He told me to read the Gospels.
It said Memphis Islamic Center coming soon. And it was right across the street from their church. He said at first he just got this terrible knot in his stomach and thought, oh Lord, that's the last thing on the world we need. But he prayed about it. And when he prayed about it, he had this radical guidance that said, you are your brother's keeper. It's not any of your business what they believe. It's your business what you believe. It's not your business how they behave. It's your business how you're going to behave in this. And so he had a big sign created that said, Park Song Christian Church welcomes the Muslim Islamic Center. And he said some of the members were so upset by that, they were ready to leave. And that was the gentleman that you heard when it popped in, that he talked. And some of the members did leave. But many of the members used it as an opportunity to say, you know what, I've got prejudice in my heart. I've got fear in my heart. I don't understand and I don't agree. And because I don't understand and because I don't agree, I want them to go away. And yet that's exactly what Jesus taught us not to do. And so they really did the work. And what it shows is to this day, every year, 9/11, they have a blood drive together. Every Thanksgiving, they celebrate together. That first year, the Islamic Center was not ready during Ramadan, which is the holy days for the Muslim community. And so the Christian church allowed the Muslim community to use their facility that first year. Things like this are happening. I want to be one of those places, and I want to be one of those people, and I believe you do too. And so this week, when we think about the value of interfaith and interreligious harmony, that our goal may always be to grow. What it means to grow toward God is to grow toward love, to bend toward love. May we become aware of those places where we just say no. Doesn't mean you don't have boundaries. It's the way we have the boundaries. Are they loving boundaries or are they mean, hateful boundaries? There's a huge difference. And so we're calling ourselves accountable. And the way that we do that is to always lean into love. And so the song that we've chosen for a time of meditative prayer is an old gospel song. Many of you will know it. This is Love Lifted Me.
Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else would do, love lifted me, love lifted me, love.
Your eyes. There are as many paths to God as there are souls on earth. So with your eyes closed, I want you to just use your imagination and imagine yourself turning around and looking behind you. Use your imagination to look behind and to just notice all the stepping stones. What are the religious beliefs, the ideas, the images? What has been part of shaping you? The good, the bad, and the indifferent. As you turn and you look back and just hold space for what has been a part of your religious experience. What has contributed to your spiritual foundation? And as you continue to use your imagination to look back behind you, I want you to look through some of the people. Perhaps you had parents or grandparents or spiritual leaders or someone you've read about, but what are some of the icons that open you to love or some spiritual ideas? Just to see some of them. And to just imagine all of the influences that they had. And we use our imagination and we look so far back now to begin to see the first people on this earth. Different peoples around the globe who could not communicate and yet were all seeking to communicate with that which seemed higher and beyond them, what we call God today. And how many traditions and languages were formed to describe this relationship with that which defies definition. As we look behind us, we realize that we stand upon all of this. And so for this place today, we're going to bless it. We're going to say, I bless the gifts that I have been able to find in the midst of this. I bless the gifts that I've been able to find. And I just shake the dust off the rest. If it was harsh, if it was hard, if it was indifferent, I just shake the dust off. But I bless the gift. And now, using your imagination, turn yourself around and feel yourself right where you are this day. And realize that you are still a great work of art. That you carry many ideas, you carry many images, you carry many experiences, all of which are just that. But you are carried in and animated by and part of the one power and the one presence. And so right where we stand, we open our hands, just use your imagination again and see you open your hands to let me hold gently that which I call truth. Let me hold gently that which I believe. And let me be held by love. Let me be held by God. Let me be held by it in such a way that I become an instrument of it. For in the end, it is not what I have believed. It is who I have become. And so we continue to use our imagination now to look forward. And as we look forward, I invite you to see just a light shining from you and from me and from everyone around you. Light shining from every heart, even the darkest of individual, you see a light shining from that heart. And together we call forth those lights. May we be instruments of light. May we be instruments of connection. May we be a place where it is safe to explore and discuss our differences in a space of respect and love. May our roots be so deep in love for self and recognition of God in other that we become that which is called heaven on earth. So with your eyes still closed, I invite you to just drop your shoulders a little more. So we give thanks for all that has come before. We give thanks for all that is right here. And we give thanks for who we are called to be as we open to the many ways that the one presence is seeking to be experienced in and through and as us. So love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else would do, love lifted me, love lifted me. Love lifted me. I want to invite you to open your eyes. And I know you're wearing a mask, but I'm going to ask you to smile as it comes through. I'm going to invite you to stand. And just to acknowledge the path that each individual, because you have no idea what path some of these folks have been on. You just have no idea. So to acknowledge one another's path, to acknowledge the many, many ways that the one expresses itself.
Love lifted me. Love lifted me.
Seated.